of drinks bring back all the memories.
This is Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Memories bring back, memories bring back. 507, welcome back to the show. In just a moment, we'll talk about what it's like for the Reeve in an area of cottage country close to Ottawa. The Reeve of Drummond, North Elmsley Township, will join us on the show, Steve Fournier, and we'll get his interpretation of what the rules are for cottagers. We've heard mixed things from the Premier, initially telling people don't go to the cottage, then saying I can't really hold the cottagers back. What is it like to be the Reeve in charge of an area like that? How would you be feeling ahead of the unofficial start of summer? The May long weekend coming up. But right now we have somebody on the line who's the president of the Registered Nurses Association. And we want to bring her on because the Registered Nurses Association of Ontario is saying that there are big changes needed to the healthcare system. They are calling for sweeping reforms. The association has tabled 13 broad recommendations in a report that says it needs an overhaul of the system. It says that the healthcare system during the pandemic has shown some serious flaws. And I have Angela Cooper Brathwaite on the line. She's the president of the Registered Nurses Association. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
How do you think the healthcare system has performed? What flaws do you think have been exposed by the pandemic?
Well, the flaws were there before the pandemic came. But the flaws that was really highlighted is how long-term care has been neglected for so many years in terms of the staffing ratios, the funding formula to provide the kind of care for them, and of course, people who congregate in such tight spaces. When the COVID hit, the staff who were providing care for them did not get their PPEs to really protect themselves and the patients. So they really suffered through this pandemic, and subsequently, many lives have been lost.
So these 13 recommendations have been put out. Tell us a bit about some of the reforms that you are calling for.
Well, we are calling for reforms to long-term care, and also we need with the OHTs, with the Ontario Health Teams, long-term care had not been included. We are asking for it to be included. Another aspect that's not being included is public health, which is outside of the Ontario Health Teams. So we would like these different areas and to make primary care as the basis for health care in the province. So no one is omitted from, and when I say primary care, I mean they are the first line of contact for people to provide care, comprehensive and coordinated care, and referred if they have any major problems. But right now, the system is so fragmented, and of course, long-term care, one of the other faults with long-term care, the RNs who work there, they are so few in number, plus they don't get the same salary range as RNs who work in the hospital. During the pandemic, we focus so much on the hospital and forget the community, as well as long-term care and places like the prisons and so where people congregate and are in close location to one another. And
what do you think of the fact that the province has said they will do a review of the long-term care system, that the Premier has called it broken?
I think it's an excellent thing to do. And as a matter of fact, I was in a virtual meeting with Minister Fullerton this morning, and we were talking to her about it, and she is in agreement with RNAO in terms of making the changes in long-term care. And we also recommended that there is a prototype in British Columbia where you have smaller homes, maybe of 7 people on a large area, but you have fewer people in homes so that they are, even if they're sick, they're not with many other people as the current system is in Ontario. Another thing of that, people with dementia need a special place so we could do reminiscent therapy and care and would be with other people who, like if I like music if I develop Alzheimer's and I like music, it would be nice to put me with other people who like music. So we could play our music, reminisce, and bring back some of the memories. So there are lots of changes that could be done to long-term care, but the entire healthcare system. bringing in public health and all the different aspects of healthcare, all the different sectors under one funding model, and not minimizing the salaries depending on what area you work in, not giving you the same salaries. They should all, RNs, regardless of where they work, should be given the same salary. Similarly for RPNs, registered practical nurses, they should not minimize the salary. And so,
what do you think about Ontario using the emergency order that is allowing the province to take control of long-term care homes?
I was taken back about that. I guess it worked, but I was taken back because RNAO had set up a program called Via Nurse. We had recruited many nurses who were willing to go to work in long-term care and anywhere that needed care. And they did not approach us to get that time, those people who had signed up, thousands of nurses, immediately if they had done that, or some of the long-term care services had done that, it would have been done. Because we were able to provide public health in Ottawa with nurses. They approached RNAO, they got the staff they needed to help subsidize what they had and bring about better care. If the long-term care coordinators or CEOs or managers, the administrative people, I should say, had approached us, we had nurses who were available and ready with expertise in long-term care to go in and fill the gap.
So are you surprised then that they've got educators that are lining up now? Because they actually put out a call to eligible workers in the education sector to come in and do, I mean, they were doing other things, obviously, like custodial work or food prep and social work, but were you surprised by that?
I heard it on the news this morning, and I said, if it works for them, it works, but they still should approach RNAO because we have recruited a lot of people, a lot of nurses still available to help, to go in and provide the kind of care that people need. Because it's not just, and I know, I see the side of the province or the premier saying people have to be fed and people have to be washed and so forth. And if someone could come in and feed, because there are volunteers who are doing that in long-term care for years now. My mother-in-law used to go in and feed people because they didn't have enough staff. So I could see, because if the staff are fewer and they need people have to be fed and to be washed and changed, yes, get the help. But if you have nurses who are trained to do this kind of care, not only are they feeding, but if I have to wash a patient, I am doing a mental assessment, a physical assessment. I am checking that person thoroughly, a comprehensive assessment. So it's a piecemeal to fill a gap. So I rather see them get healthcare professionals who are trained to do this kind of, and educated, not trained, but have the knowledge, skills, and ability to do the kind of care. Because long-term care is a specialty, just as maternity is a specialty. You have to know how to approach these people. They are vulnerable. You have to know how to approach them, give them the kind of care and support they need.
I appreciate you coming on the show. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
Angela Cooper Brathwaite, president of the Registered Nurses Association of Ontario. They've tabled a report with 13 recommendations calling for an overhaul, a fundamental shift in the healthcare system's focus in Ontario. Right now, 5:16. We're going to check in with the Reeve of nearby cottage country. We've heard a lot about Muskoka. And yes, some people in Ottawa do have cottages in Muskoka, but a lot of us have cottages that are close to Ottawa. And so we'll be joined in just a moment by the Reeve of Drummond, North Elmsley Township, Steve Fournier. Later on, we'll be joined by Martin Patterson, who's the owner of several golf courses here in Ottawa or just outside of Ottawa.
So why don't we go out and get a drink in the West End? Smoke a cigarette and talk about exes. Take a couple shots and see where the night ends. Stop pretending like we're just friends. Why don't we go out?
You're listening to Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Stop pretending like we're just friends.
My producer Chris just pointed out a disgusting story to me. So of course now I'm going to tell you about it so that you're equally disgusted. That's how this works, right? That's how this works. That's why we hang out. That's why you come on the show every day. So I can disgust you with stories like this and regale you with different memories and times like the time that I cut off half my index finger. By the way, Chopiversary, week, is it 3 or week 4? Gosh, I really am losing track of time. I think it's week 3 tomorrow. Maybe it's week 4. Jeez, I don't even know. I'll have to go back. But Chopiversary coming up tomorrow. And finally, we've got some skin on the index finger. Still missing, I would say, a substantial portion, but it's actually filled in quite a bit. The one area where I could really stand to gain some weight in my index finger. Love it. That'd be great. Toronto police say they've arrested a woman for allegedly spitting, coughing, and wiping her saliva on a bank machine. Happened around 5:30 in the morning, end of last month, April 30th. This woman apparently goes into the bank. They found out about it later. And they, sure enough, looked on the surveillance images and found that she did do this. Spitting, coughing, and wiping her saliva on the bank machine. I can't imagine what would possess somebody to do that right now. But we're hearing stories about this time and time again. I saw one the other week, I think it was on the West Coast, where somebody did the same thing, but in an elevator. Really gross. All right, 5:21. The Ontario government is set to ease restrictions on golf course, campgrounds, and other seasonal and recreational activities soon. We'll talk about that in a moment, but as we inch closer and closer to the May long weekend, typically the unofficial launch of summer, people head to the cottage, they sit around a campfire, they often put the dock in, even if it's very chilly, they get in the water. It's the ceremonial first dip of the season, but this year is tremendously different. We have social distancing, we have the moral compass that is telling us to stay at home, but then is it really telling us to stay at home? I don't know. We're getting mixed messages from Premier Doug Ford on that. Ahead of the April Easter weekend, he told people definitively, do not go to your cottage ahead of Easter weekend. Then it came to light that he himself had gone to check on his cottage. He went alone. He went in a car, didn't stop, was there for less than an hour, went to check on plumbing, but he got a lot of heat for it. When he came back, the message started to develop as time marched on. He started to say, I know that people want to go to their cottages, and if they're taxpayers, they're paying taxes on those cottages, I can't really hold them back. Last week he said this.
If you want to check on your plumbing at your cottage or heat and seeing what's going on up there, this isn't going to be the typical May the 24th weekend. I'm asking you, please, don't bring a whole whack of people up. It's not the party weekend that's been in the past.
So that's open to interpretation, right? It really is. Can you go up just to check on something, or can you go up just with your immediate family? Don't invite a bunch of people up for a party. Or should you just stay home? And mayors are divided on this. A lot of cottagers feel like they're getting mixed messages. Joining us now on the show, we have the reeve of a rural township between Perth and Smiths Falls. I have on the line Steve Fournier, the reeve of Drummond, North Elmsley Township. Let me ask you, sir, how are you interpreting the rules?
Well, the original intent from, I think, Mr. Ford's speech there back in March was, I don't think they wanted tens of thousands of people from Toronto and Barrie heading into the Muskokas and Huntsville and stuff like that. Around our area in Drummond North Elmsley Township, which is kind of Innisfil and Perth and Port Elmsley and Rideau Ferry and stuff like that, we don't have the droves of people coming into our community. So I'm for people going to the cottage in our municipality. I know Mississippi Lake is close to Ottawa on Highway 7. I know we have lots of residents that have cottages on Mississippi. They're going to come up. All we're saying is please buy your stuff on Thursday night in your stores in Ottawa. Fuel up your cars, buy your fuel and all that sort of stuff, and come up. And don't stop too many places along the way. A good thing to do that Thursday night, and then you get everything ready. You don't have to, you can get right to the cottage right after work. You don't have to stop three times. You get more enjoyment out of the cottage when you get there earlier. I think the intent and his intent was the big thing. Like, Toronto people don't come to Huntsville. We don't have the hospital facilities. Our little knick-knack stores aren't accepting you right now and stuff like that. But I have no problem with mom and dad and the two kids coming to the cottage and having a campfire and a glass of wine. I think people need a bit of a break from all the rules. And if you do your social distancing and shop at home and don't stop along the way, get from your house to your cottage, I don't see a problem with that.
What are you hearing from people that live in the community full time? Are they concerned about this? Are they anxious about this?
Well, there's lots of people in our cottage country. They aren't really cottages anymore. They're full-time home. They started out as cottages 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, but now they've tore them down and made homes on them. Mm-hmm. But I still feel for the cottagers that pay taxes and want to come to their cottage. Lots of cottages are 30 or 40 feet apart. There has to be separation due with our planning act and stuff like that. Like I say, as long as you come to your cottage, stay on your own property, don't bring any more than five people or your immediate family, don't have any big parties. Our boat launches are open, but I don't see many boats out in the lakes now. We've got Drummond North Elmsley has Rideau Lake, Mississippi Lake, Mississippi River, Audie Lake. I don't see the boats out now. It's still cold. Now, this weekend, there may be explosion of that. If you're using our boat launches, please distance yourself from people putting their boat in and stand back and let them do their thing. But again, as long as you keep your crowds down, bring your groceries with you, shop at your hardware stores in Ottawa or Orleans or wherever you're coming from, I don't see a problem. I can't comment on the Ontario-Quebec border and what's going on there.
Well, that's an entirely different story.
Exactly, and I wouldn't comment on that, yes.
Yeah. We're chatting right now with the Reeve of Drummond, North Elmsley Township. Steve Fournier is on the line, and that's a rural township between Perth and Smiths Falls. A lot of people that do go up there and enjoy their cottages, and with a long weekend in May approaching, people are right now having this conversation, I'm sure. Don't you think, Reeve? I bet there are a lot of people having that conversation tonight over the dinner table. Do we go or do we not go?
Yeah, that's right. And like I'm saying, in Drummond, North Elmsley, more than welcome. Now, I listened to a Doug Struthers from Merrick for Wolford last weekend, and he was saying, please stay away. They don't have any, it's more of a tourism town, lots of knick-knack stores and stuff like that. And he's saying, we'd love you to come, but we don't have any of the corona in our district right now. Please stay away. We're going to welcome you with open arms in June and July when this is all gone, but we don't want you in our town right now. But you still have the availability to drive and stay in your car and social distance and go from A to B, as long as you just don't do your stops on the way and go from A to B. Like I say, it's great to be able to have the opportunity to go to the cottage, campfire, roast marshmallows and hot dogs and have a drink of wine just to get some of this stress out of people's lives.
Oh, doesn't that sound nice? That is my version of heaven right there. I am a cottage person through and through. You probably noticed that from listening to the show. I talk about cottages all the time. We love cottages. We don't own one. I wish. But we frequently rent one. I've got a friend that has a cottage in Arnprior. We often frequent that in the summer. I just love it. There's nothing like sitting on a dock, having your morning coffee, having a beer, watching the sun go down. I love it. I love it. And it's just sadly one of those things that is going to be different this summer. However, I should say, we have a bunch of reservations through Airbnb and other various cottage websites that have yet to be canceled. But I'm assuming that's probably not on this summer, just like everything else. Wait and see. Wait and see. 529. We'll talk about the golf courses in Ottawa and how they're preparing to reopen coming up next. Stay with us.
Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA.
On Thursday, we will share more good news. More good news about getting people back to work. More good news about opening workplaces, getting paychecks out the door. More good news about slowly getting back to normal. On Thursday, we will share more details about the next stage of reopening our province. And it will be stage one of three stages. So that's very important that the people of Ontario have all followed the protocols, and we've hit stage one on Thursday, so we'll have more details.
Premier Doug Ford getting set to announce some big details of the reopening of the economy, seasonal businesses, pet services, household cleaning and maintenance. As well, we've heard golf courses. So this is a big step. Now, a lot of people are asking questions like, when can we have gatherings of more than five people? Doesn't sound like that is coming tomorrow, but we do know we will get more details and perhaps some more clarity on the future of going cottaging this summer. But let's talk about golf courses. They've been told to get ready. Martin Patterson is the general manager of Emerald Links in Manotick, Cloverdale Links south of Ottawa, and Anderson Links just east of Ottawa. And he joins me now live on the line. Hello.
Good afternoon, young lady.
How are you doing?
I'm doing amazing. Now that I'm talking to you, the whole world is lit up.
I wish I could have this type of greeting every day. Can I just get you to give me a phone call in the morning and give me a little pep talk, Martin?
I can do that, too.
Fantastic. So this must be exciting news for you.
Oh, it is. Very much so. I'm so looking forward to opening up the courses. We've been having a number of phone calls asking when we're going to be opening, and we're ready for the green light. Man, we're good.
And do you expect it is coming tomorrow?
Yes, it'll come tomorrow. It'll probably say that we can open Saturday.
Saturday.
So I know. Yeah, I'm looking. Hopefully they can open Friday, but Saturday I'm thinking that's when they're going to allow us to open.
That's what we're seeing. The documents we've obtained from News Talk 1010 and CTV say the proposed date to open golf courses is Saturday. But then, you know, the premier was asked about it today and he said nothing is finalized. But let's go with Saturday. What goes into preparing the golf course and getting it ready for such a different reopening this year?
Well, we've been having the courses being looked after by our maintenance staff for a couple of weeks there now. So they've got all the grasses trimmed. My staff in the pro shops are rerouting people a little differently throughout the clubhouse, being socially distanced. We are looking for people to book online more and pay online so we don't have that, that cluster whenever we do open. So hopefully we've got things tagged down pretty good. We've got down a schedule on, you know, how often we're getting the washrooms cleaned, how we're sanitizing and sterilizing the carts after every use. We've got shields up in the pro shop and the restaurants, just in case we have the ability to open up, like, for takeout for our restaurants. So, yeah, we've done quite a bit to get prepared for this.
A lot of work has gone into it, that's for sure.
You're not kidding. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, are you a golfer yourself?
You know what? I'm going to tell you right now, I have never been golfing. Can you believe that?
And you were born and raised in Ottawa?
No, not in Ottawa. Outside of Toronto. So, Oakville.
Outside of Toronto.
I say outside of Toronto for people that aren't from Toronto. It makes me sound like I'm cooler, but I'm from Oakville, Ontario, which has a bunch of lovely golf courses. But
never got into it. Really?
I know. I've been to the driving range once. I didn't give anyone a concussion, so that was considered a successful day.
So that was good. Exactly.
But maybe that could be my new physical distancing activity, right? I actually think a lot of people...
Perfect.
Well, I think a lot of people may be getting into it, Martin, because they're looking for something that they can do outside, and this is a time where people are taking up a lot of new hobbies.
Exactly. And think about it. You're on a piece of property that an individual has literally an acre to themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So are there any nerves on... Yeah, go ahead, Martin. Go ahead.
As opposed to being into a Home Depot where, you know, or a Lowe's or a grocery store where you're all confined in a certain area.
Mm-hmm.
You can enjoy nature and walk and play golf. It'd be perfect.
Are there any nerves on the part of some of your regulars that usually come out about returning to golf right now, given the fact that the pandemic is... No.
Pandemic, but they know how to social distance. Anyway, it's the one thing they'll be missing is the clubhouse, where they can come into the clubhouse and wind down after their stressful game of golf, which isn't really that stressful. It's actually very relaxing.
Well, I suppose it's how obsessive you are about it, right? I have a stepdad who Absolutely. Like, he is a golf fanatic. And I know he puts a lot of mental preparation. He puts a lot of thought into his golf game.
Golf, yes. A lot of golfers do, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's very enjoyable if you ever get into it. You just got to get into the swing of things.
Love it. Well, Martin, listen, I wish you the best of luck this weekend. Well, I know you put a lot of work into this, and we'll have to check in with you, and you can let us know how it's going.
Well, you'll have to give me your phone number so I can call you in the morning to give you this site every morning.
Okay, but I'm not giving it out on the air. I don't want to get too many
phone
calls.
No, you wouldn't want to.
I don't think they'd all be as encouraging as yours, to tell you the truth. Martin Patterson, General Manager of Emerald Links in Manitouk, Cloverdale Links south of Ottawa, and Anderson Links just east of Ottawa. The Ontario government is expected to ease restrictions on golf courses, as well as a number of other seasonal and recreational activities this weekend. The documents that we've obtained say Saturday is the proposed open date, but the premier has said nothing is set in stone, so we'll see. 5:44 coming up. The best moment of a hot mic that I've heard so far anywhere on a Zoom call, and it happened here in Ottawa at Ottawa City Council earlier today. We'll play that for you if you missed it earlier on the show. Coming up, trust me, it will make you laugh. I've been chuckling about it all this afternoon. The importance of the mute button should not be forgotten on Zoom calls. And after you hear this, you will always remember to check whether or not you're muted. That plus the Daily Drake.
Form a line and tell me who missed me.
Oh, good intro.
Really? Are you familiar with the Drake equation?
It involves the airing of grievances.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
I have a moly head.
A giant egg. Filled with moles.
I got just the thing for that. We call it
the Daily Drake.
Well, I bet you have no plan.
Drake, what are you getting at?
Wow, this is garbage.
But let's keep that on the down low.
You used to call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love.
This is a giant cluster.
Oh. Now look at you introing our topic. Okay. Before we get to what happened at Ottawa City Council today, which is by far, I think, the best example of why the mute button is so important on Zoom calls or video calls, first, let's play what happened to this Welsh politician. This is a Welsh minister that got caught swearing about a colleague. So this is pretty bad. He was swearing about a colleague during an online
session.
I tell you what, I know Jenny is regularly right at the end, it's like, what the f*** is the matter with him? Let's get died to be a little bit.
So that...
Oh my God.
You can hear he's actually criticizing somebody from the assembly, yelling about a colleague. So that happened to a Welsh minister, and we actually played that a couple weeks ago, and we were laughing about it. And then today, as my producers were monitoring the city news conference, the city gathering of politicians, there was a really awkward moment where Dr. Vera Etches goes to speak and goes to provide an update to Ottawa City Council. And then right in the middle, it sounds like the Director of Emergency Services, Anthony DeMonte, doesn't realize that he's not on mute. And he starts getting frustrated with all the technology. Take a
listen. Go ahead, doctor.
Okay. So first of all, we have the system.
What's going on?
Monitor for...
cluster this technology.
Okay. We have systems in place to monitor the resurgence of infection. So get...
Sorry. I think that's Anthony DeMonte. You're not on mute.
Oh.
So folks,
okay.
Just... very simple request. Please turn off the TV if you're watching it because there's an echo. And please put your phones on mute.
That was bad.
Yeah, that's the real problem, Mr. Mayor. Definitely the echo is the problem. It's not the emergency and protective services manager calling it a cluster you know what.
Cluster this technology.
Okay.
Oh, man.
The best part of that whole thing is the way that Dr. Vera Etches is so taken aback, and she just goes, okay.
I mean, I do sympathize because I have had multiple conference calls where I have But it's more I'm muted and I'm swearing at my phone because my finger, whatever reason, my finger maybe it's a little bit like it's, I don't know, there's some water on it or it's a little wet. I have a wet finger. My finger, I have wet fingers. And my wet fingers are not like, you know, the iPhone screen's not reacting to them. So, okay. I just walk around with wet fingers. So.
Okay, so whole.
As soon as I said that, I realized it was going to be a diversion. Okay,
so in the middle of conference calls, why are your fingers wet? What are you doing, taking a bath?
I don't know. Maybe I've just been cleaning or something, like doing the dishes, and I got some wet fingers. Like it's like I've dried them, but I've just done the shake off. You know, they're not fully.
I've got some serious questions about what it is that you're doing on conference calls.
Well, no, I'm just.
Do you go to the bathroom? Are you one of those people that you're having a call with, and then all of a sudden you'll just hear the flush?
I am under no obligation to answer that question.
Oof. Now we know why you have wet fingers. Okay, anyway, back to what you were saying.
No, but so I will be swearing at my phone while it's still muted because I, you know.
Because of the wet fingers.
The wet fingers won't get the mute button to work. And then people, are you there? Are you there? I'm like, I'll be screaming. But then, I don't have the reverse. Well, maybe I will be in that situation where my wet fingers can't turn the mute button off and I just start swearing and people are like, what's this guy doing?
So here's the thing about Anthony.
Maybe Anthony DeMonte had wet fingers. That's what you should ask him. Like, just be like, sir, were your fingers wet?
The next city press conference, I just line up on the phone. Excuse me, Mr. DeMonte, I have a question. Yes, the head of emergency and protective services, I'd like to know how wet your fingers were.
Is that the cause for your problems with the mute button?
On a scale of 1 to 10, how wet would you say they were? 8, 8.5? No. The thing about this is I think we can all have a good laugh. He didn't mean any harm. He wasn't criticizing anyone. It's not like he was making a bad comment about one of his colleagues.
He was just criticizing Zoom.
He was not enjoying it.
He had mildly wet fingers, and he couldn't couldn't operate his machine.
Sorry.
It's the laughter of a man who can't dry his fingers.
I just wonder what the conversations were behind the scenes after this. Like, what you think Anthony DeMonte actually said.
Oh, I'm sure they're all apologizing and being like, oh, man.
Do you think that the mayor thought it was funny, though?
I think, you know.
It's pretty benign.
I think maybe in the moment, slightly frustrated, annoyed. I think by tomorrow, everyone will just have a laugh over it. It's so innocuous. He's not saying anything bad.
I don't think I've ever done anything like that. A couple times when we used to do morning meetings, when I was on the air with Evan, and then we had our colleague Donnie in Toronto and Cassie here, and we would do our morning meetings. There was a couple times where I'd be rushing around before, and there was a couple times where I almost FaceTimed the group in various states of undress. Thankfully it did not go through. But can you imagine? I show up to the morning meeting. Whoop! Hey, it's me in the nude. Good morning.
I am notorious for this. Like everyone, the biggest thing is like if you're telling me.
Wait, for your wet fingers or being nude on video calls?
If all of our friends know, if you're telling me a secret or telling me something that's like confidential, Drake, where's your phone? Because I'm constantly in my pocket.
You never lock it.
I'm constantly FaceTiming people.
Yeah.
I mean, one time we were just in the car, and all of a sudden I pulled my phone out of my pocket, and your mom was right there looking at us. We're like, oh, my God, how did that happen? And she was just talking to us like she thought we had called her.
That was really funny. I remember that. I think we were on the 401 driving, and all of a sudden I hear my mom's voice, and you pull your phone out of your pocket, and my mom's head is just on your phone. She's just talking away. Like, where did you come from?
I mean, she's probably confused. Why am I?
Although she was having a conversation, so she didn't seem too put off by it.
She went with it. She decided to roll with the punches.
Yeah, I guess I don't really pocket dial people too often.
No. I've also sent texts to the wrong people. It was meant to be like, you know, nothing serious. Like, to say I was going to text you, I love you. I'll say that to, like, send it to a colleague by accident.
Oh,
and they'll
I've
be
done
confused.
That. I've done that too.
I think I've accidentally sent a photo of the dog's,
Bowel movements
to people by accident because I was photographing them for.
When do you photograph? I have so many questions
because,
out of this second.
No, because sometimes when he's sick, you is know, that, I want to make sure I send you a photo. Look, his stool is improving.
Is that why your fingers are wet?
That's
okay, we gotta leave it here. Microphones are going off. Thank goodness for everyone listening at home.
What a cluster.
5:59. We'll talk to you tomorrow.